I call to order. My name is Jim Graham, and I'm a representative to the WMATA Board from the District of Columbia. I call to order this meeting of the Finance Administration and Oversight Committee. The date is October the 11th, 2007. Without objection, the agenda is approved. Without objection.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Kaufman?
I'd actually move that we table the fare policy item for, I think, some reasons that should be fairly obvious to colleagues. You know, we have a number of proposals that have been brought forward by our general manager. You, Mr. Chairman, have certainly done some hard work to bring forward a proposal for the District of Columbia. As my colleagues know from some email exchanges, I've been trying to advance a possible other option of proportional increase. It would also include no increase for bus customers who use the Smart Trip. So I think that I know when the day is done, we wouldn't have the votes to move anything forward from here today. So rather than spend 2 hours discussing and not bringing about closure, I move to table.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Are you moving to table without a specific time or date or no further action? So you're moving to table until the next meeting. Pardon me?
With the intent purpose of
giving us all time, particularly our jurisdictional staffs, to review the variety of alternative proposals. I think it's a good thing. A variety of proposals to move forward. Give us some time to consider.
Mr. Chairman.
Just 1 second. Let me make the point that a motion to table to a specific time is debatable. And so this is a debatable motion.
You suckered me into that.
Yeah, I did.
thank you.
I just want to say, if I may, Mr. Monome, that I think that we can have an abbreviated discussion today, but I think the District of Columbia would like to have the opportunity to present its proposal. We have heard the proposals from the general manager, who's worked very hard on his proposals. The District of Columbia has worked very hard on our proposals. We don't have to have extensive discussion, but we would like to have the courtesy of presenting our proposal to this committee and before we proceed to do whatever it is that you have in mind. But
if you do, so, Mr. Chairman, I'll pull out my swords. So I would respectfully
you have swords?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think we're just simply asking for the opportunity to present our proposal.
But
and so
if you do, everybody will want to make their arguments alternative. I think it'd be cleaner.
Did you wish to be recognized again, Mr. Kaufman?
No,
because we're going to move to others, too. No, I didn't slip in. I recognized myself, Mr. Kaufman. There's a difference, as you may know from your board activities in Fairfax. Mr. Monomer.
Quick question about timeline and the impact of any deferral of discussion in terms of getting the public hearing by end of the year or near the end of the year.
We can still go through the public hearing process. We're very tight, and January is slipping. But
what's the last day that we can essentially move this thing out of committee?
Well, basically every month of delay here leads to a month of delay in the public hearing process and the implementation process. So if we're now talking about a November Finance Committee meeting, we'd be talking about probably March at the soonest for a fare increase.
Actually, in talking to some of our staffs, we should be able to do a little bit earlier.
We can do it in 2 weeks.
We think we could, if we really shorten the process, we might be able to still hit the January date that's tight. But there's still a possibility of doing that. And I'm asking people to do the public hearing notices to make sure.
The problem is the learning code is running into a holiday season. First, getting comments from the public over holiday season because of Thanksgiving becomes harder. Second issue is we have to move forward to make the January date. We move forward and certain things, we start putting things in process. Sometimes even before we make it. The final four of the information will start to be accelerated. We're really trying to get close. we have to make assumptions, and sometimes that makes us make an effort that when the decision is changed, we have to backtrack and redo some of the stuff that we've already done.
But we can make the January date, so if it's decided by the 23rd.
January 31st, date in January?
No, January 1st, yes and no.
I don't think you can make the January date if you go to the board and final decision is not here, so we don't.
Okay.
Ms. Hewlett, and then Ms. Hutchins.
And what if the final decision were in 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks, yes.
Final decision on a hearing.
On the hearing in 2 weeks, correct, as opposed to November, number one. And if you could elaborate, I have a couple of questions, but if you could elaborate on this process so that we're all clear on how much notice you need for the public hearings and that sort of thing.
I can tell you the WMATA compact requires, I think it's 15 days notice from when you make an action to when we have to do the advertisements. There's nothing in the compact I'm aware of that defines how many public hearings have to be held or where they are. In the past, we've generally had two per jurisdiction, two in Virginia, two in the district, two in Maryland, but that's a past practice. There's no rule that demands we do that, so that could be something that could be tightened up or shortened.
Mr. Francis and I can split those responsibilities. I do speed them up and have them.
Maybe start exploring those options since it's pretty clear.
And staff generally comes back with a report on the results of the public hearing to either the committee or full board. The board then takes an action or not, and then we begin the behind-the-scenes implementation of changing the fare tables and all the signage and all that kind of stuff.
It will be tight, but it's not an impossible task.
Well, that's good to know. My next question is, you know, I heard Mr. Kaufman talk about the, you know, there are several proposals out here, and I know, Mr. Graham, you said you had a proposal. I mean, several of us have different options that we probably like to bring to the table here. I think we're all grappling for the same thing. We're all trying to find, we recognize the fact that we need a fare increase, and we're trying to find one that is indeed appropriate and will not hurt our riders, particularly those of lower income, and I think we're all grappling with that. But so my question is, so there are lots of different proposals that will probably come out, and Mr. Graham, you said that you felt the need to address yours today, and then I watched the exchange with you and Mr. Kaufman. My question is your proposal different from that which we read about?
Well, I mean, you know, when you thank you very much for your question. You know, when you present a proposal at a press conference, you necessarily, you know, do the high points. But we've worked very hard on the materials that we've prepared, and we'd like to just, if you know, I don't think it would take a lot of time, just simply put it on the table, just the high, you know, the key elements of it, and then circulate it. We have copies for everybody so they can see for themselves. And then I'm willing to suspend the discussion at that point and pursue it.
But then
if others have proposals, I think the public, if I may, the public is anxious. The public is anxious for discussion on these issues, and you know, I think we should have it. She still has the floor. She was simply asking me a question.
Well, that was my question. I see where this is going. It's going to spiral a little bit out of control here, and I think we all have presentations, and I was just trying to figure out whether it was imperative for you to make your presentation today or whether we glean the highlights and can read it with the package that you have to distribute today. But since everyone else has different ideas as well. So I yield now.
Ms. Hutchins.
I hope that we'll support Mr. Kaufman's motion because I think it is an opportunity that we try and look at this, say the word, regionally rather than simply jurisdictionally. We came to this because we were trying to make a policy change, not just to raise fares, but trying to make a policy change. We now are trying to figure out what numbers matter. I think what we all need to do is figure out how might we have a discussion that's in balance with all of our views and come to the table with that as the full breath on the table rather than one particular item and then the next item and then the next item. I think that takes away from the larger discussion of what the overall benefit will be. I don't have a problem having to deal with competing proposals, but to deal with only one proposal and maybe another, and then later we'll write emails and share other proposals. That, to me, is not the way that we should be conducting the most critical business of this authority. And if we want to gain the level of cooperation, support, understanding and commitment to the authority, I think we ought to step back a moment, and I think that's what Mr. Kaufman is offering us the opportunity to do, and I think it will benefit us all. I think we've all understood that we may not all be in the same place, but it doesn't mean that we have to now try and find one spot that only one place jurisdiction wants to be in and move from there, but rather look at it in balance and see what it contributes to each of us. So I would hope that we would support the motion.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, request a recess.
Okay. It's been requested that we recess. We'll recess for 5 minutes. Thank you very much for your indulgence. We just have one question to ask, perhaps of the maker of the motion would be most appropriate. Can you specify just a little bit more what you see as the steps between now and your motion said you were tabling this until?
I'm going to have to be more careful this time, Mr. Chair. I think whenever we're ready to come back with the closure, or at least a decent discussion where we will come to closure. It doesn't have to be the next Finance Committee whenever we find that we're there. I defer to Mr. Zimmerman,
do you have a comment?
I'm more of a master of Robert's Rules than I.
You need to remember, Robert's Rules aside, you need to remember this is not about a fare increase. It's about a hearing. Mm-hmm. The question is, when do we get to go out to hearing and actually hear from the people before we figure out what we're actually going to do? I would suggest that to make the timetable that everybody seems to agree we want to stay on, we want to make that decision at the board meeting, which I believe is 2 weeks from today. So I think we have to have agreement, not on a fare increase, but on the basis for a hearing in 2 weeks.
Correct.
I agree with Mr. Kaufman that it would not be wise to try and have a discussion here today under these terms. But I think that over the next 2 weeks, we can perhaps take a shot at working something out that we can agree on the basis for a hearing, approve it on the 25th, then we can hear from the public, and then we can argue about what should or shouldn't go into any fare package.
Right. But recognizing the fact that under our rules, we cannot increase what we have put out, we can only decrease.
Right.
So obviously, if we begin anything, we have to keep that in mind. That there can be no increase, there can only be a decrease in terms of what's been put out for public.
I'm suggesting we should agree on that in 2 weeks.
Okay. Ms. Hewlett.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think we posed a question to Mr. Cato before to see if that would in fact work if we dealt with this issue in 2 weeks, and I think they hopefully had a chance to find an answer to that.
Yes, we do have an answer. If there is a decision to in 2 weeks on the 25th to conduct public hearings, the compact requires that there's a 15-day posting period, which means that the hearings would take place between the probably 13th to the 16th of November, the 12th being a holiday. After those hearings take place, there must be an open 10-day period. So the earliest that would close is November 26th. So it still allows for some board discussion or decision as early as November 28th. That's the case. It's not going to be pretty what our signs would look like, but we can get it done by the 1st of January.
Okay, so there's no time. So in other words, this particular bugaboo is not hanging over our heads.
I don't know if I was saying that.
We just have crude signs. We have crude signs. Okay.
Yes, with the correct dates on it.
Okay. So with that said, I think there will probably be consensus to take these next 2 weeks to work on finding a common ground on these issues. Is there further discussion? Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. We can report a unanimous vote on that matter. Thank you very much. Okay. Now we go to the next information item.
Mr. Brand?
Mr. Benjamin.
We never did approve the agenda, and I did have a
question. Oh, we haven't got to the agenda.
Move approval of the agenda.
It's been moved to approve the agenda.
As amended.
Second.
You have an issue on the agenda?
I just wanted to ask a question of staff before we move forward. This agenda does not include either the July or August monthly financials, and those are pretty helpful in our discussions of both fares and budgets. I was wondering when we would see those.
I agree. In kind of the crush of workload to get other items here, we have not had time to sufficiently prepare those documents. We're intending to bring them to you at the next monthly meeting.
Since they're not on the agenda, is it possible for us to get them before the monthly meeting so that they can be part of the discussions that we're having?
They would certainly be in the next mail out. I'm not sure how much sooner we can get to them.
And may I encourage you to do it as soon as possible, because they are very helpful in this kind of a discussion.
We would do it as soon as possible.
Further discussion on approval of the agenda. Mr. Kaufman?
Well, it is a brief segue, but I'd just like to personally thank Mr. Harcum for all his work over the past few weeks. I don't know if you've gotten any sleep or not, but I've been impressed with the good answers, the detail, and cranking a lot of numbers, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, and I'll give you the $20 right after the meeting.
No, he has worked with mine. There's no $20 that he's worked with
mine. Mr. Harcum, you've apparently been added to the agenda here.
I guess.
Is there further discussion on the motion to approve the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. That's approved. Is there a motion to approve the minutes for September 13th and September 27th, 2007, as if it was it's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there a second? Second, Mr. Mayor Ewell. Comments?
Comments?
Yes, of course.
On page 2 of the September 13th minutes, I particularly like the last discussion on issuance of debt, and I would note the part that said that Mr. Benjamin asked about the latest update to the Metro Matters Integrated Financial Plan and asked about options available for issuing debt. But then note that if you go up one paragraph, you see that the same discussion is repeated, and that in fact it is not a set of votes on the capital improvements program reprogramming. It's a repeat of the language down below. So I don't think we can approve this since the language.
I can't find what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay. Item B, capital improvement program reprogramming.
Yes.
If you start about halfway down, it says Mr. Harcum reviewed the history of Metro Matters debt. That is a repeat of the language in the paragraph below rather than a discussion of what we did in capital improvement program reprogramming. So it's a complete error. It does not in any way relate to what the result was. Yes. And it does not say what we did about the capital improvement program reprogramming. So I don't think we can approve these minutes since they're incorrect and that information needs to be added.
We'll make those changes.
Okay, so forgive me, but are you referring to the minutes on what date?
On the 13th. I also have comments on the 27th.
Okay. I'll carry the minutes over to the next meeting.
Okay, you're withdrawing your motion.
Yes.
We'll carry the minutes for September 13th and September 27th, 2007.
And I'll submit my comments to the staff.
Thank you. Now, let me ask this question to the general manager. We have determined to put off the fare policy discussion for a period of 2 weeks. The capital improvement program funding requirements, does this bear such a relationship to the fare policy that we should include that as putting that off?
No, Mr. Chair. Actually, these two separate discussions, especially there are a couple of actions that are absolutely necessary for us to continue certain programs.
Okay.
But
this is the information item.
The information is really just information.
Yes, we can. That's just information. You have it. But
I'm asking, let me be clear, perhaps okay. I haven't been. Is Roman numeral 3A and B, can we put both of them off since they relate to?
Yes.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
So I see the action items.
You meant the action.
No. So we move now to action items. We're including, Mr. Kaufman, the capital improvement program as part of that. The FY08 contract awards for safety, security, and emergency management is the first action item.
I could explain this one. This is almost a routine administrative issue. When the budgets are approved annually, now we include a list of contracts that are underlying that budget. When the current FY08 budget was adopted this year, a number of contracts didn't quite get on the spreadsheet. This would amend that contract listing to make sure that those contracts are now on that listing. So everything that's in this package is included in the budget. It was simply an administrative oversight in the document that came along with the approval of the budget.
Is there a motion? Is there a motion?
So moved.
It's been moved by Mayor Yule. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Monome. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it. That is approved for referral. Capital Improvement Program Budget Reprogramming, Mr. Harkin.
This is an action item to seek board approval to move budget authority inside the Capital Improvement Program, inside Metro Matters. I'll take you right to page 66 of the presentation, which highlights really what we're talking about. Go ahead, one page, Jim. It's kind of hard to see on the screen, but basically, on the right side, we have two projects in the capital budget that we know for certain at this moment that they will not need to expend the full amount of money that was budgeted for them. The $37 million is what is not needed for those two projects. On the left side are five projects that we at this point know are going to go over budget. Unless we take some action to modify those budgets. So there's a request to add $34 million to the five that are there. Short of that, we're literally reaching the stop work order for these projects. Things as critical as the 2K, 3K rail car rehab project are kind of on the verge of us issuing instructions to the vendors to stop delivery if we can't make these budget changes. So this is a fairly straightforward, technical budget reprogramming. The items on the five, without exception, have some kind of almost contractual matter behind them, and there's not many choices.
Mr. Zimmerman and then Mr. Giancola.
Questions on the right-hand side of this, actually. If I understand this correctly, you're saying we had budgeted in Metro Matters for the bus garage that's now basically under the West Docks facility.
Yes.
We subsequently wound up doing it differently in a way that cost less.
Yes.
So that money is not, that was set aside in Metro Matters, is in a sense available.
Correct.
And you want to spend it on something else.
Correct, in Metro Matters.
And it is within Metro Matters.
Yes.
Okay, now, my understanding was that you couldn't do that without sign-off from the signatories to the Metro Matters agreement.
I'd have to defer to Carol at that point because as I read it, I believe it's a WMATA Board of Directors budget authority. But Carol, if you could help.
The Metro Matters agreement provides that if there are excess funds left and it does speak at the agenda of the program, then the board can first priority is to redirect those funds to unfunded Metro Matters priorities. Of course, it does speak at the end of the program, but there's a knowledge now that there will be an excess in that, those two lines, and so staff is bringing this to you to address the
Well, I understand the reason they're doing it, and I'm not questioning it as budget policy. I'm simply saying there's a legal question here, because the Metro Matters agreement was signed on to by individual signatories, and there were terms around it. I mean, everybody's pledging, you know, their own credit to this, basically. Mm-hmm. And so there were protections put in to make sure that everybody had their interest in it. And so, for instance, bus garages in Northern Virginia were an interest to people in Northern Virginia, and the people we went back to, who they were getting certain kind of things. So suggesting you're going to move something becomes an issue. And this is not the first time, because this came up earlier this year, I believe, when there was a proposal to move something from Metro Matters to another part of the capital program,
right.
And it was pointed out that you can't do that. So my question now is, are you sure that under the agreement, as it is signed, that you can move, basically at the discretion of the board, we can move funds from one project that, of course, necessarily falls in a certain jurisdiction, serves certain interests, and move it to anything else that is encompassed by the Metro Matters program overall?
And we're declaring these as excess funds.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
The question I had is on the cost overruns, and that's the word you used.
Yes.
The numbers there, what percentage of the overall contract was the cost overrun? And can you give me a little more detail on the cost overrun? Was it unforeseen conditions? Was it scope change?
Flip back two pages. I'll give you an example on the first one. For the 2000-3000 series rail car rehabilitation project, this is an $18 million budget increase on a budget of $382 million. So for each of the for each of these detail sheets, I've tried to give some backup information. This is a project that ran woefully behind schedule and is now over budget. There were a host of engineering problems, everything from kingpins to production line problems with the manufacturer that have caused delay, and that's primarily what this $18 million reflects, is just the cost of time.
The engineering problems, were they the manufacturer's problems, or were they our spec, or what?
It was shared. The problems have all been resolved. Production is up and running. The cars are coming in. I don't know, Dave, you want to try and fill in any more on this, but this is something that we've been dealing with for the better part of 2 years now. And in a budgetary sense, what's happening is we're reaching thresholds with commitment control, and budgets need to be increased.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Quick question on, Mr. Chairman, capital project number four, regional clearinghouse, $3 million for the regional clearinghouse. And what is the what's the scope of this project? And I have a quick question. I'd like to get a sense of what's the well, I understand there to be some leakage associated with not having the clearinghouse be able to capture everything. Any sense of how much we're talking about on an annual basis there, and will this address that issue?
Yes, it, I don't have an idea on the how much part. It'll address the issue. This project is a 40-some million dollar project, and similar circumstances. This has been approved by the board many years, several years ago. Took some time to get it launched. We've had some delay claims in there. This $3 million, I think we may be able to negotiate our way down from that slightly. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll come in somewhat below this number. This is the whole Next Fair 4 project, auto load, the regional compatibility of the smart trip card, all the things you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. And the target date is October 2008 that will be fully implemented.
I would like to know how much, you know, this, my sense is there's money on the table, so to speak.
Okay.
I have to get some sense of how much we're talking about we'll be able to recoup in implementing this.
Yes, Mr. Zimmerman. On this, again, on the right side, there's a footnote there, which may be a little hard for people to read there, but
right.
It notes that the presumption in the dollar figure above on the garage is based on the sale of the Arlington facility, Boston facility, which it says is anticipated to occur in, I think you may mean by, December 2008 now.
I would appreciate that, sure.
However, that's not a sale that's been concluded, and we certainly support that sale, but
agreed.
That's not a sale that's been concluded, which means you don't know that you're going to have that money by, you know, 14 months from now or whatever that is.
Correct.
And that's $20 million.
Correct. So what we would do is manage cash flow with the existing commercial paper program, in other words, go into short-term borrowing to cover the cash deficiency until the sale is concluded and the cash is in-house.
How long can you do that?
Commercial paper program can exist as long as Metro Matters exists. And later in the agenda, two more years. Later in the agenda, we have a bond issuance proposal, and if the bonds are issued, the entire commercial paper program would be reset to zero.
So you've got to decide. But so what you're saying is you can float up to 2 years before the sale of the bond.
Through the end of 2010.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? Motion to put this item on to the committee, to the board?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second to move this item to the board. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify their vote by saying aye.
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 The ayes have those
opposed. Thank you. That was a big one for us.
That goes to the board. Item three, initiate process to initiate Metro Matters bonds.
Yes, this is a process, and the key words are we're asking for the board's approval to initiate a process. The process would result in converting the commercial paper that Rick talked about, some internal borrowing, into long-term debt per the Metro Matters agreement. At this point, we want to move forward and work with the legal counsel and the financial advisors. We will update all the cash flows. We will certainly look into arbitrage requirements. This process will take roughly 30 days. We would return to the board with a recommendation of sale of long-term debt. To give you an idea of the magnitude, if you look on page 80, the original Metro Matters called for $611 million in long-term debt.
That is still the target number. The change, or the addition, is the rail car funding of $156 million. Originally, it was anticipated that federal revenue sources would fund that, but the Metro matter said if there was a federal revenue shortfall, the next option would be long-term debt, which is what we're now proposing, given that we do not anticipate getting the federal funding. So the 156, although called for in Metro Matters for long-term borrowing, was not factored into the debt numbers, if you will. So if this is approved, there is additional debt service of about $12.4 million a year that will be incurred to finance these rail cars. So again, we're just looking for your authorization to proceed along the lines that were outlined in the Metro Matters program to begin this process.
Questions?
Yes, Mr. Zimmerman.
It's a little imprecise what's the request is here. It says to initiate the process to issue Metro Matters bonds. So what you're asking for is not the authority to issue bonds.
Right? No, sir.
That would take subsequent action.
Correct.
Okay. So what is it you're exactly going to be doing? We get this approval in 2 weeks?
We've had conversations with the financial advisor. We would sit down with the financial folks. We would review cash flows. What we're really looking at is the decision point, as I see it. The decision's been made that we're going to issue long-term debt by the board when the Metro Matters was approved. So the options we have to look at are market conditions, the cash flow needs. Are we going to sell for a 6-month period, a 12-month period, an 18-month period? Obviously, arbitrage is an issue that we don't earn too much interest, that is against federal tax regulations. So we would come back to the board in approximately 30 days with the financial advisor's input on how much debt and how much, meaning how much cash flow are we going to cover, again, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months.
Are you asking for permission to go talk to the financial advisor?
Well, if Carol could comment a bit here. We've had this conversation at the staff level. Because bonds are a contract with the bond holders, and because the rules of the authority require that the board approve any contracts, and this is talked about on page 79, it's our feeling you need to authorize us to begin this process.
I just want to understand what it is we're authorizing you to do.
We will incur when we start working with the public financial management folks, the financial advisors, their clock is going to start running. We're going to start incurring costs.
Okay, Judge, and that's the next question. There's nothing in here about the financial impact of this action. The funding impact that's cited on the board summary refers to the overall debt issuance and assures us that was encompassed in Metro Matters, which is not the question. The question is, what am I spending today if I vote yes?
And until we decide on the amount of the issuance, the bond counsel and the financial managers are paid based on the amount of the issuance. So depending on...
Let me ask it differently. Suppose you go through this, you come back to us, and we decide, you know what, we don't want to issue this debt. In fact, we've got other ways of financing it. Maybe the member governments want to issue it themselves because they get a better interest rate. You know, maybe something else comes, but we decide not to do it. How much would this action have cost us?
I would speculate we will spend $60,000 in fees. Ballpark estimate of what we would spend with the financial management.
Confidence less than $100,000.
Yes.
And it would seem actually not to even require this action based on the procurement policy.
Well, and as long as the board is okay with us proceeding, whether you vote to approve it or not, that you understand we're marching forward, we are having these conversations, we will incur some expenditures, $100,000, I'm giving you an order of magnitude number here, but if you're okay with us proceeding, we're scheduled to start next week.
Mr. Chairman, my concern isn't necessarily with the substance of this, though I think there is some further discussion before we decide, A, we are definitely issuing debt, and it is definitely in this amount, including the additional amount that they're requesting, because I think, we want to know that that's the best way to do things. And I want to know that we're not making that decision now, but that we actually will have a fair shot at considering that and making a decision. But I am concerned about any vote we take that is ambiguous and that can subsequently be said, we can subsequently be said to have authorized something we weren't conscious we were authorizing. I don't like the fact that this is not clear at all what it's requesting when it says initiate a process in the heading, but there's not a specific action here. There's not a resolution that I can find for the board, and there's no clear financial impact. If it's a small, you know, I don't, if it's 60,000, if it's 200,000, if they need to spend that to do something that's on the order of tens of millions of dollars, okay. I mean, I can see saying, all right, go do that. But I want to know what it is that I'm being asked to approve.
Fair point. And we can, we'll come back to that point and after we talk.
I want to follow on that point because I have the same concerns that Mr. Zimmerman has, and I'm very pleased that you raised them. I have been asking staff a bunch of questions about this particular issuance. I'm very pleased that staff is coming back saying that they will give us some answers within 30 days. They haven't so far. There are a number of due diligence issues that I do believe need to be resolved. Mr. Zimmerman has raised some of them. What I would suggest we do at this point is authorize the staff to proceed with dealing with their financial advisor and any other advisors they need in order to bring back to us the package that specifies the issues that we're concerned about and the ones that Mr. Zimmerman has. And since I have not been able to get the answers before, I will lay them out again as part of this motion, if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay. First and foremost, the $156 million rail car funding shortfall, if I understand correctly, under Metro Matters, is a federal funding shortfall for discretionary grants. And I do believe we received an additional $9.5 million in bus money, which should be added to the 150, it should be handed to the 104 that we received, which would reduce this 156 to 146.5. So $9.5 million, I think, is significant. It would be nice if we could tie down these numbers and tie them down a little bit better. You will note that the top number says original financial plan, $611 million. We have not followed the original financial plan. As a matter of fact, the grand total for debt to be issued in the most recently published version of the financial plan in the authority's budget, this document, says $824 million. There's a difference between those two that's fairly significant. And it seems to me that that $824 million relates to an overrun of $264 million total in Metro Matters. If you look at the bottom right-hand corner, the table shows $264 million of expenditures beyond the total that Metro Matters allows. So at a minimum, I would think the $824 million would have to be lowered by $264 million, bringing it down to 560.1. So these are numbers that need to be resolved. We need to know how much debt we're going out for, why we're going out for that amount of debt, how it relates to Metro Matters, how much has been expended, how much we intend to expend, how much has been borrowed, how much we need to borrow. There's another issue that's there. Under Metro Matters, if there are any shortfalls in revenues, the program needs to be reduced. At this point, the federal government in formula contributions has actually given us $3.8 million more than what Metro Matters calls for. However, the internally generated funds, which are called for in there, are $14.3 million behind what Metro Matters calls for, which says there ought to be a cut of the overall budget by $10.5 million. And you don't want to borrow to cover that money because the budget needs to be cut. So we're now looking at a number of issues where things need to be changed. I would note that we just recently did a bus buy. That bus buy only covered through 2009 and used up all of the money for the bus buys. So the 2010 bus buy no longer exists. The board didn't even consciously do anything about that. But it says that there are major changes that need to be done in Metro Matters before we decide what we're going to borrow. There are, as Mr. Woodruff talked about, a number of borrowing issues that have to be considered. And they relate very directly to the issues that Mr. Zimmerman talked about. Do you do a single borrowing or you do multiple borrowings? That has an effect on interest rates. It has an effect on whether the borrowings are available for non-taxable status. And it has an effect on arbitrage. It also has an effect on the decisions by the local jurisdictions as to whether they would rather contribute unilaterally the cash or whether they would like to be part of the borrowing. So that set of trade-offs needs to be done with consideration of the fact that you have expenditure rates that must occur if you're going to do a non-taxable borrowing. And that if you do $611 million or whatever the number will be, very quickly, you may not have a legal taxable borrowing, and you may have problems with arbitrage because you're going to immediately start investing those funds. That's got to be analyzed. We've got to see what the results are. It would be really useful, particularly for the local jurisdictions who've got to make decisions about whether or not they're going to put up the money or become part of the borrowing, to know what the expected or estimated interest rates are for each borrowing, if they're multiple or a single borrowing, and what the estimated debt service would be, because they have to then compare that with their ability to get the same or higher or lower rates. And finally, there's a basic question that I'm not quite sure about myself, and that is, if you do a non-taxable borrowing, are you legally allowed to pay back borrowings you've previously done? You've essentially already borrowed against existing authority funds. Not clear to me that under a non-taxable borrowing you can pay yourself back, and a good portion of this money, I believe, is intended to do that. So I don't even have a vague idea as to what a legitimate top number would be for what it is we should be borrowing, and this is just scratching the surface on stuff that I can do very quickly. So if you want 30 days to get answers to that, you can come back to us with those answers, and you want authorization to talk to all the people you need to talk to do that, that's the motion that I'm asking for. But I'd like to see answers to all of these things, because I don't think this board can make an intelligent decision without them.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we put this matter off for 30 days.
We authorize them to talk with all of the people that they feel they need to talk to give us the answer, because that seems to be their problem.
Okay. You are authorized to talk to all of the people that you need to talk to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This may be non-controversial. Further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Now, we will look at our subsequent agendas, if you will look for a minute. We meet again on the 8th of November. I am going to suggest, and maybe we want to pay attention. Does it make sense for this committee to, on the, what is the meeting, what is the date of the next board meeting?
October 25th.
It would seem to me that on the issue of the fair policy, we could have the discussion directly at the board, and that's the way it's currently structured. Is just so everybody understands that this, whatever discussion we have on fair policy on the 25th of October will be at the board, and there will be no further meeting of this committee prior to that date. Is that understood and agreed to?
Mm-hmm. I would.
Okay. Then our next discussion on fair policy will be at the board meeting, which is at 11 a.m. Or is it 10 a.m. now?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. on October the 25th, we will have the board discuss the fair issues. Very good. There being no further business to come before the Finance Administration Oversight Committee, this meeting is adjourned at 11 o'clock.